sweet presence here. Aren't you thankful we serve a God who knows us intimately and personally? He loves us on our good days and loves us on our bad days, loves us on the in-between days. And He is mindful of your needs. He's mindful of your down sitting and your uprising. He knows when you go to bed. He knows when you wake up. And He loves you with an everlasting, immeasurable love. I can't comprehend that. But isn't it comforting? In 2022, isn't it comforting to know that the Spirit of God abides with you and He loves you with an everlasting love and He knows you by name? He, like I said last night, He numbers the hair of your head. He bottles your tears. He orders your steps. He surrounds you with warring angels. He covers you by the blood. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got the keys to the kingdom. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We win and we win big. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. Thank you again for this privilege. It's truly a privilege. I'm going to leave a part of my heart in northern New England. I mean that. I sincerely do. You guys are awesome. And love you, Jamil.
Love you too.
And I just want to share with you from my heart. I want you to stretch your hands this way. Pray in agreement that I will say only what He wants said in the next few moments. I really desire to speak His word. And I want it to fall on the fertile soil of your heart so that you will receive it and leave and not just be hearers but be doers of the word. So pray that in agreement with me right now. God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this privilege. But God, I also consider it a responsibility and one that I don't take lightly. I want to speak what you would have me to speak to these awesome women of God. I want to speak the word. I want to deliver the right package. I want to deliver the right piece of mail to them, Lord, that they will speak and know that they have heard, they will declare what they have heard and know that it is from you and not me, Lord. Have your way in us, through us, and around us, and we give you praise. Somebody praise Him.
Hallelujah.
We give you praise, Lord. Thank you for knowing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being faithful to us. You are a good, good Father. And oh, the goodness of the Lord has truly followed us all the days of our lives. And thank you for being there even when we didn't acknowledge you. Thank you for being there even when we didn't recognize your presence. Thank you for being there, walking us through our dark places, holding us tightly, Lord. Thank you for celebrating our victories with us. And thank you for weeping with us in our brokenness. Thank you for pulling us in closely when we needed you. Thank you for guarding us and watching over us. Thank you for making salvation a reality through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Come, somebody declare that name privately and publicly. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen. That reminds me of a man at near home that he said, he had been asked, he was an anointed man of God, and he had been asked to pray at a public gathering that was sponsored by some city officials and government. And they told him, now you can pray, but we're just going to ask that you not pray in the name of Jesus. Just pray generically. And he said, well, all right then. This is the way he would talk. He said, okay then, well. He said, I can pray and I can leave off the name of Jesus and I can pray an eloquent prayer that'll impress those that hear. He said, but I'm telling you right now. He said, it's like writing a nice long letter. If I don't pray in the name of Jesus, it's like putting that letter in an envelope and not putting a stamp on it. It ain't going nowhere. So come on, how many of you are going to pray and put a stamp on it? Come on, how many of you are going to pray in the name of Jesus And you know it's going to be heard in the heavens. Come on, that one word prayer. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you have prayed that one word prayer when you got that bad report? Jesus. How many of you prayed that one word prayer when that car almost hit you? Jesus. How many of you prayed that one word prayer when your children were getting on your last nerve? Jesus. How many of you prayed that one word prayer when you wanted to slap your husband but knew better? Jesus. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that you can pray that one word prayer? Come on, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus, and heaven is moved and the gates of hell tremble. Why? Oh, no, when Hollywood declares it and they use it profanely, that makes me madder than if they use four-letter words. If they say Jesus Christ as a slang, it goes all through me. I'm telling you, because there's power in that name. But when somebody who's answered the question correctly, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When that woman prays the one word prayer, Jesus, the gates of hell tremble. Oh, the God Pan and all of his cohorts tremble because there's power in that name. Somebody say the name, Jesus. Come on, that's why they don't want you to pray in the name of Jesus, because it exposes the darkness. The light begins to shine. Come on, somebody, let the light of Jesus shine in this room right now. Say the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. I love you, Lord Jesus. And the Lord has just been drawing me to this simple little message, and we want to exchange beauty for ashes. We want to exchange joy for mourning. Come on. We want to exchange praise for heaviness, don't we? In the name of Jesus, we want to leave here with beauty, with joy, with praise in our spirits. We want to leave the garment of heaviness for the spirit of praise. And we want to walk out of here. And if we answer the question correctly and keep our focus, Jen mentioned it this morning. When she was up here giving the opening devotion, and she talked about keeping our focus, and as she alluded to, it's not my message, but the Lord has been dealing with me so much about that passage she read in 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul said, "We're pressed on every side, but not crushed." But this jumped out at me. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Several months ago, the Lord led me to that phrase, perplexed but not in despair. And it was as if he said, it is acceptable to be perplexed right now. It's acceptable. How many of you know our finite minds cannot grasp the ways of God? His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But how many of you really believe he's working even when we don't know he's working? Praise God. And we can be perplexed. I don't understand how my husband, who was in ICU with COVID, God raised him up, but then another friend who I love dearly died a few weeks later with COVID. I don't understand. I'm perplexed. I don't understand what's happening in Ukraine right now. And I have very close friends who are from Ukraine, and they're broken and they're grieved. They live right across the street from us, and they go to church with us. And I see their pain is up close and personal. Her mother, her family is still in Ukraine. And so, I'm perplexed. I don't get it. Come on, raise your hand. It's okay. Are you perplexed with some of the things that are happening in our government and our nation? Perplexed means bewildered, confused, unable to settle the issue in your mind. But the Lord spoke to me in prayer, and he said, Rhonda, it's okay, like Paul. It's okay to be perplexed, but I will not allow you to step into despair. Because despair means without hope, a total loss of hope. How many of you know our hope is in Christ and in Christ alone? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. And I will not allow myself to step over into despair, because I know the answer to the question. And I know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask, think, or have need of. Somebody do your feet like this. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Come on. How many of you have got your mind made up? You're not getting off the rock. Come on, help me. You might slip and slide, but you're not getting off. Amen. You might slip and slide, but I'm not getting off the rock. Anybody in here in agreement with me? Raise your little hand if you're not getting off the rock. Wave it up to the Lord and say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I'm not getting off the rock. I love telling this little story. I've told it a thousand times probably, but it impacted my heart. One of the times in the office, my pastor came in and he said, I've got to tell you what just happened. He had gone to see a little lady who had been in a coma for several days, and she was on her deathbed. The family had been called in. She hadn't spoken a word or opened her eyes for several days, and the family had gathered around. Her son was near her, his mom's face, and he was talking to her. And the doctor said, say your goodbyes fast. She's sinking quickly. And she heard that somehow and managed to open her eyes, and she said these words, oh, no, doc. You're wrong. You can't sink when you're standing on solid rock. Anybody in the room standing on solid rock? Anybody in the room on Christ, the solid rock I stand? All other ground is sinking. I ain't getting off the rock. Anybody in here got your mind made up? Come on, look at the person next to you and say, I ain't getting off the rock. Come on, say it in your best southern drawl. I ain't getting off the rock, Shug. I'm staying firmly planted. Hallelujah. So you've answered the question correctly. You're standing on the solid rock. And now I want to talk to you before I go back to South Carolina and tell you that there is something you've got to do on a daily basis. You need to make it a habit. All habits are not bad. Listen, anybody in the room brush your teeth today? Anybody wearing deodorant? How many of you are thankful that some people participate in those habits? Yes, all habits are not bad. Making a habit of encountering God, somebody say encountering God, will help me keep my focus. It will help me keep my focus. Remember we talked about Peter last night in the intro of my message? When Peter was looking at Jesus, he was walking on the storm. When he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on the battle. When he was looking at Jesus, he was victorious over the thing he thought that was going to take him down. When he was looking at Jesus, he was more than a conqueror. Amen. But when he took his eyes off him, he began to sink. So I want to challenge you to encounter the Lord. Several years ago, as a matter of fact, it was in the fall of 2014. That seems like eons ago right now, doesn't it? We'd never even heard of anything called COVID. And wearing a mask was only something surgeons did or doctors on soap operas. We didn't do it. And now things have changed. But the Lord spoke to me in the fall of 2014. I was really overwhelmed with my schedule that was coming up in the next year. And I was like, God, I don't know how I can do this. I've stretched in these directions and nobody's getting 100%. You know, I'm giving a percentage here and a percentage here. And it's just not, I feel, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, you've got one responsibility, and that's John 1:29. And I'm like, John 1:29. And it's the verse of scripture that simply says, and the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He said, you have one responsibility in everything you do, in everything you say in ministry, and that is to get people to behold the Lamb of God. You've got one list. Everything you speak, everything you teach, everything you write, let it ultimately cause them to look at me. And I don't know how to explain that, but that just really took so much of the pressure off, because that's my responsibility, is to get you to look at him, to say something that will cause you to have a God encounter. And that day, I don't really understand everything that was going on with John. John was preaching and he was teaching, and he was a weird character, y'all. My man wore camel's clothing, camel's hair, coats, and he had locust legs hanging out of his beard where he ate locusts and wild honey. I promise you he would not be invited to speak at the upcoming General Assembly. I'm just saying. They'd be like, listen, son, we love you, and you're really making an impact, but we need to clean you up just a little bit. before we put you on. You know what I'm saying? You might not have him at your local church for revival, but people were going to the wilderness to hear what he had to say. And he and Jesus were cousins. They grew up together. And I can only imagine what it must have been like them for them playing as children together. You know, cousins, they tell each other things. And I can imagine, yeah, well, I'm the son of God. Well, yeah, well, I'm a prophet and a preacher, but we're going to have to work together on this. You know what I'm saying? But one day, all of a sudden, it was time for Jesus to step into his earthly role as Messiah. Jesus knew it was coming. John knew it was coming. But there was something different this day. John had been baptizing people in the wilderness. He had been baptizing them and proclaiming who Jesus was. And now this day, he sees Jesus coming. Maybe back there behind, you know, near the sound booth and that distance, and he's baptizing, and he looks up, and there's something different about Jesus today. He stepped over into the role as Messiah. It's time. And John says, he looks, and it's all of a sudden my ministry just shifted. All of a sudden I have fulfilled my role. Now this is what I've been telling you to do. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, I want to behold him. Behold in this verse is a command. We must habitually, daily, on purpose, behold the Lamb of God, and it will cause you to maintain your focus. How many of you want a God encounter? Encounter is defined as to come upon face to face, to see him just as he is. There's a couple of things, and I just want to give you this thought. There's a couple of things that begin to happen. When I behold the Lamb, it ultimately will eliminate mediocrity and complacency and carnality in my life. When I see him for just as he is, mediocrity goes out the window. Complacency, I'm going to get off my couch of do-nothingness. And carnality is not something I want to participate in. Self-satisfaction accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies is the definition of complacency. A self place that you get where you don't even know or aren't even aware that dangers are around you. The world is trying to lull us to sleep as believers and cause us to feel like the fight is over, make us feel like there's so much going on that is wrong and we can't do anything to make a difference, so just be quiet. Just go to heaven by the skin of your teeth. Just keep quiet and be still. How many of you know that's a lie? That's part of the plot of the enemy. When I have a good look and I behold the Lamb, something happens. I just wrote down some words on a piece of paper. Adoration. How many of you have adored him in the service this morning because we've had a look through the praise and worship? Adoration and reverence and revelation. We talked about that last night. Oh, come on. I need for you to just listen closely because I want you to grab hold of this as I get going with this message. Without a vision, without the redemptive revelation of who God is, people perish. We read that last night in Proverbs 29 and 18. I want you to have a fresh look of who he is. In order for you to exchange beauty for ashes, you've got to look again at Jesus. You've got to answer the question correctly. But not only do you have to answer the question correctly, you got to keep your focus, ladies. Behold the Lamb. Reverence, revelation, repentance, and restoration. I cannot walk in agreement with the Lord when I look at him closely without saying, God, I'm sorry, I blew it royally yesterday. And repentance and transformation and transparency and motivation to serve. All of those things happen when you look again at the Lord. Remember the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan living an ungodly life, but she was transformed and became a follower of Jesus when she beheld him. Stephen was so full of faith and moved by the Holy Spirit that he allowed himself to become the first martyr of the New Testament church because he saw the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for who he was, and life was no longer worth living in the face of the one who stood up as he was being stoned. Are you hearing me? Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle when he beheld the Lamb on the road to Damascus. Anybody in the room feel like some of our people in politics need a Damascus Road experience? How many of you would like to see some people in political places of power have a Damascus Road experience and get knocked off their high horse and get up off the dirt road and saying, how can I serve you, Lord? Oh, come on, I can fantasize about it, can I? How many of you believe it's possible? God, in the name of Jesus, give Washington, D.C. a Damascus Road experience, an encounter with you. Let them behold the Lamb of God. Peter was cowardly at the time Christ needed him the most, but became bold and an unintimidated preacher of the gospel. Oh my goodness, after they had a transforming encounter with God. A God encounter, listen, will accentuate what is right, and it will also reveal what is wrong. How many of you want a God encounter? Come on, how many of you want a God encounter? You want an encounter with God. You want to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. It causes it to surface when you come into His presence. But God moves. I referenced Isaiah last night. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in Isaiah chapter 6, when he beheld Him on the throne, he saw both the problem and the answer all at once. He saw the answer to the dilemma. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and His train of His robe filled the temple. And he talked about how above Him stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And they cried one to the other. This was something I noticed. The seraphim, the angels that were present, they were crying one to another. They were testifying to each other of the goodness of God. They cried to each other saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I believe they were seeing one miracle after the other miracle taking place on planet Earth, and they were looking at each other saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God that we are in the midst of. Look at the person next to you and testify of the goodness of God. Look at the person next to you and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth will be full of His glory. Hallelujah. And oh, the posts were shaken and they cried out and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah says this in verse 5. He says, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone. When you have a God encounter, you know, when you have a real God encounter, you don't go, Jesus, I need to talk to you about Sue. Lord Jesus, she's getting on my last nerve. And I about had enough, God, so I'm bringing it to you because I'm fixing to have to tell her how I feel. And I know you're on my side, God, because you know how she's living. Mm-hmm. Bless her heart. God, in the name of Jesus, amen. No, when you have a God encounter, how many of you know, oh, all of a sudden, everything shifts and you go, woe is me, oh God. Here I am, Lord. I'm asking you, God, to cover me once again because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. I've had an encounter and I want to worship the Lord of hosts, the God of the angel armies. Oh, praise God. And He touched him with the coals from the altar. I believe Isaiah had a post-resurrection vision of Jesus. I believe he was seeing Jesus after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he understood the plan of redemption all rolled into one vision, and he said, oh God, I repent, and he repented. And now in verse 8 we see he said, whom shall I send? The Lord is saying, and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. It's motivation to serve. Here am I to send me. See, we're trying to send people who have not yet repented. We're trying to send people who are still not in the presence of the Lord to do ministry. We need to go, wait a second, have you had an Isaiah 6 encounter? Have you seen Him? Have you said, woe is me? Have you repented and have you been purged? And now you are qualified to go. Raise your hand if you want to say, Lord, here am I. I want motivation to serve. And it only comes from an encounter. Yeah, I'm going somewhere with this and I want you to get hold of this. Look again. Look again, a God encounter will bring, I said this a moment ago, adoration and reverence and revelation, repentance, restoration, transformation, transparency, and motivation to serve. It will eliminate mediocrity, complacency, and carnality. If you're feeling complacent, you need to look again. If you're feeling with carnality, you need to look again in the face of the one who brings it all into proper perspective. A God encounter will change and transform me, and I want to be like Him, not make Him like me. Oh, come on, y'all. Have you picked up on that lately? Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Well, He knows my heart. Yes, He does, sweetheart. And the Bible says it's desperately wicked. So what we need to do is realize God does not want us to try to transform Him into Santa Claus. We don't want to turn Him into a sugar daddy and a genie in a bottle who we take down when life gets difficult and make three wishes. Come on, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Oh, no, I want God to be God, and you don't want me to be God. That would not be good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to serve a holy and a righteous and a just God. I want to look at Him and I want to have an encounter with Him and ask Him, Lord, make me like You, oh God. Make me walk in Your love. Make me walk in Your goodness and let me see through Your eyes and speak Your word and be Your hand extended. That's what the world needs right now. I need to have a God encounter every single day of my life. I need to behold the Lamb of God daily, and the church needs to behold the Lamb of God daily. I need to crucify my flesh. How often? Daily. I need to walk in repentance with Him daily, because one day if I do, if I encounter Him in this life, if I answer the question correctly in this life, oh, I need somebody to get excited. I'm going to have the ultimate encounter one day very soon. Anybody going to have an ultimate encounter with me? I would just as soon be raptured from Maine as South Carolina. I would just as soon for gravity to leave its hold on my body in this state as I had on the airplane on the way back home or after I get there. How many of you believe that soon and very soon we are going to see the King? How many of you believe that soon and very soon we're going to have the ultimate God encounter? If you behold Him now, if you keep your focus now, the encounter that we've all been waiting for is coming. Now, I'm just going to be real honest with y'all. Can I tell y'all a secret? I grew up back in the 1900s. That is no secret. But I grew up in the 1900s, and we went through a phase where everybody was excited about the coming of the Lord. Everybody will be happy soon and very soon. Come on, y'all. That's the songs we are. Y'all remember that's we sang it. We testified. We talked about it. And then it was like the church began to scold the church for wanting to be raptured. They told us it was an escape route. Well, according to this, that you might escape those things that are coming up. Hello? How many besides me want to escape Revelation? Have anybody read it lately? I don't want to be here for it, Shug. Escape the things that are coming upon the earth. Are y'all hearing me? And we would hear things like, well, they're so heavenly minded. They're no earthly good. Can I just tell y'all something? The people that I know that are truly heavenly minded are the most earthly good of anybody I've ever met. Are you hearing me? I mean, they load up stuff and send it to Operation Compassion, to send it to the Ukraine, to send it to people who are hurting, and they tell people about Jesus all on the way there. Are you hearing? I'm just giving you an example of what happened this week with some of our church people. I'm just saying people that are heavenly minded are earthly good. Are you hearing me? Because they want you to go to heaven with them. They're mindful of the lost and dying around them. They're not looking for a way out without taking you with them. Are you hearing me? I want to surround myself with people who are heavenly minded. If you've seen Him here, and you've had an encounter here, and you've answered the question correctly here. Come on, somebody. Get ready. Soon and very soon, we're going to have the ultimate encounter. I'm just telling you, we shall behold him then face to face. We will see him just as he is in all of his glory. In my mind right now, I'm hearing Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris singing, "We shall behold him." Oh, come on, somebody. The skies will unfold and we shall behold the bridegroom. Hallelujah. When my sons got married, they had beautiful wives. They still are beautiful. I love my daughters that God grafted into my family vine through marriage to my sons. And they had beautiful weddings, and I was sitting there, and you could see this in the pictures. When the bride came in, I'd already seen my daughters-in-law dressed in there, and I hugged their necks, kissed them, told them how thankful I was that they were marrying my son. But when the wedding started, Mama was sitting right there on the second row, and they played the entrance music, and everybody in the church turned and looked at the bride, except me, because I wanted to see the look on my son's face when the bride came in. That's what I wanted to see. I didn't want to miss that moment. And I looked and I saw my sons, my handsome sons, all dressed up, big godly men standing there. And I saw them just melt. And I saw their eyes fill with tears and their chin quiver. And I saw them look with love as their brides came in. And I said, yes, that's what I wanted to see. That's the look I wanted to see. And it was wonderful. And one day I was driving down I-20. And the Spirit of the Lord quickened my heart. And he said, Rhonda, people are always singing songs about my return. They're always talking about how excited they are at the thought of me coming. But have you ever thought about how I'm feeling about it? Have you ever thought about the look you saw on Joel and Jonathan's face? Oh, can you just imagine the look that will be on mine when the bride enters into my presence and I welcome the church home? Can somebody in the room, Ray, I don't know how he's going to do it. He's going to see us all at the same time, but we're all going to feel like he's only seeing me. I don't know how he's going to do it. I have an idea. It's going to be better than anything we have ever anticipated. This God encounter. Oh, keep your focus. Keep your eyes on him. It's worth it, because the ultimate encounter that we are about to experience, oh, pales into comparison to anything we have experienced in this life. 1 Thessalonians 4, I love this passage. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, or sister neither, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Anybody here buried a loved one? Anybody here lost somebody? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand if you've got a loved one who has passed away. He said, I don't want you to sorrow as one who has no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Who believes it? Raise your hand if you believe it. He died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. I got to stop right here. I attended a funeral of a saint of God who passed away. She was in her 90s. And just a few weeks before, a brother in our church who was also in his 90s passed away. I'm talking about these people. You know, I just want, when I die, if I die, which I'm aiming for the rapture, but if by chance I happen to pass away before the rapture, I don't want people going, oh, Jesus, I hope she made it. Oh, your mama looks good. I hope she made it. Bless her. I want people to go, oh my goodness, we know she loved her some Jesus. We know she's dancing around the streets of gold right now, worshiping the one she lived for. How many of you want your testimony to be clear that when you leave and you immediately open your eyes and behold the Lamb of God? Oh, come on, that little lady I was telling you about who said you can't sink when you're standing on solid rock, those are the last words she spoke. She entered into the presence of the Lamb. Lamb of God within minutes after that. How many of you want to behold the Lamb of God? Oh. I was standing there in the cemetery and I saw Brother David's grave and Sister Verna Hoyt, whose maiden name was Bean, who came from the state of Maine. Yeah. She said she was real distant relatives and never got any of the cash that they made at L.L. Bean. But she was a cousin. I was standing there beside her grave and I looked over and saw his at a distance. And I said to the pastor, wouldn't this be an amazing place to be standing when the trump of God sounds? See, the dead in Christ will rise first. He says in verse 8, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Paul is saying, let me just go ahead and break this to you. This is not my opinion. This is the word of the Lord. This is not Rhonda's opinion. This is the word of the Lord. I'm in agreement with this word, but this is the word of the Lord. How many of you know the word of the Lord is set and settled? Oh, come on, anybody. You know, you can fast and pray and seek God about some things, but you can fast till there is no life left in you and beg the Lord not to come back. I hate to break it to you because one day he's coming, Shug. Raise your hand if you believe the word of the Lord. He says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Oh, for the Lord himself, for the Lord himself, for the Lord himself, for the Lord. Sometimes he sends angels. Sometimes he sends a brother or sister with an encouraging word, but there are times that the Lord himself steps to the occasion, and this is one of those times. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and I kind of think it's going to be hallelujah. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And see, in my mind, I remember, and I was the mother of the groom. The mother of the bride was like this by the time the wedding came, because there were so programs and bulletins and mail outs, and they just went overkill. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I was just like, well, I'll have the rehearsal dinner all together. Oh, it's just been such a stressful thing. The mother of the bride. No. But the preparation that has gone into this day. Oh, my goodness. He spoke the world into existence. And in John 14, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when it's time, I'm coming. He's been working on our place for quite a while. And I'm telling you, it's going to be good when we get there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this might all happen in a matter of seconds. But it's not going to be over. Oh, see, this isn't in my mind. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, it says, we'll be caught up with them in the clouds. I believe there's going to be a reunion with mama and daddy and grandmother and granddaddy and loved ones. I believe, mama, you're looking so good in your glorified body. Rhonda, you're looking good too, baby. Oh, we're so glad to see you. A reunion. And in my mind, this has been something that God has prepared for eons of times, it feels like. And it's not going to just be thrown together and over with. I believe that the reunion with those who have gone before us is going to be wonderful. Then I don't know how he's going to do it, but I believe there's going to fall a holy hush on those who have been assembled at the wedding. And I don't know how it's going to unfold, but I believe that there will be a separation as we anticipate him walking in. I believe that every eye will look in the direction of of the Lamb of God, and we will behold him in all of his splendor. And just like my sons looked with love and admiration on their bride, he will look with love and admiration and say, welcome home. I'm so happy you're here. And this celebration will begin, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will be reunited, so we will forever be with the Lord. And verse 18 says, comfort one another with those words. If you are not comforted at the thought of his return, then you need a fresh encounter. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Can somebody in here raise your hand? Somebody who don't want to miss the God encounter of all encounters, raise your hand and praise him, because you answered the question correctly. Oh God, we shall be changed. Revelation 1, 7 and 8 says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. He says, even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. And I have not forgotten my bride. I have not forgotten my church. And any moment now, when the time is right, the Father is going to look over at the Son and say, go get your bride. And the Lord himself will descend with a shout, and he will gather those who have died in Christ, and those who remain will be in his presence forevermore. The ultimate God encounter. But Rhonda, what do I do in the meantime? Come on, the meantime is meantime, isn't it? I'm just serious. Anybody had any mean time lately? Oh, just wait a little while. Don't tell me to wait. Come on, I mean, the straw that breaks the camel's back. You know, I say this a lot because it seems to happen a lot to me. When I'm traveling and, you know, you go through the drive-thru and all you want is a latte or all you want is some extra caffeine, and you drive up and they go, ma'am, do you mind parking right over here? And you don't want them to spit in your iced tea, so you go, okay. But on the inside, you're thinking, if I wanted to park, I would have come inside. This is a drive-through, not a park-through. I just want a cup of caffeine. It's because we don't like waiting. Anybody in here, y'all don't look at me so holy like you don't do that up here, too. You just smile and pull over and park. That's what you do. You just smile and wait. The meantime is mean time. What do I do until he does come? What do I do until he does, in one split second, as far as the lightning is from the east to the west? I don't have time to get into those passages, but they're beautiful passages. And they're all to do with the second coming. The second coming. The second coming and the rapture are two different things. The rapture is when he comes as a thief in the night and takes the church. The second coming is when he comes back and we come back with him. And we go, hello, we weren't kidding. The whole earth will be filled with his glory. And we're setting up a kingdom here, and you are going to comply. Those of you who have lived through the tribulation, you will do as you are told. The devil will be bound. Come on, somebody. Anybody getting excited with me for this? Y'all, the millennial reign by itself is enough to live for Jesus for, and that's not even eternity. We've got so much ahead for us. When my little son was about 3 years old, I'll never forget this. What do I do in the meantime? I listen with my eyes. I behold him
just as he is. I keep my focus on him. I may be perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I may be pressed on every side, but I am not crushed and defeated. Is anybody in here hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm keeping my focus. My little three-year-old, he climbed up on the counter. He had been talking to me, and he was going, "Mama, Mama." And I was going, "Baby, I'm listening. I'm listening." I was multitasking. How many mamas know multitask is a requirement? I don't understand this. I don't understand how you have to write a list for your husband. I love you, Kenny. I don't understand. Because if you don't give him a text or a list, he's going to forget something that you ask him to do while you're busy multitasking. But he and my sons can sit in front of a television screen, and these guys on this side and these guys on this side, and they've just got a football in between them, and they watch this thing, and it happens in like 3 seconds. And every one of them, "Well, that was a face mask. I don't know what the referee was doing, or umpire, whichever one it is in football. And I don't know what they saw. That one was a linebacker, and that one was the..." And I'm like, "What? Don't tell me you forgot to take the trash out when you know what 20-something people did all in 3 seconds. Y'all know it's the truth. But when my son was little, he was saying to me, "Mama, listen, listen." And he climbed up on the bar in the kitchen, and he took my face just like this. And he turned it towards him, and I never have forgotten this. He said, "Listen with your eyes, Mama." He wanted my undivided attention. Guess what? He got it. And I looked straight into his pretty little blue eyes, and he told me what he wanted me to hear. About 6 months later, I entered into a valley that I was not expecting. And spiritually, everything got dark all in a moment's time. It went from blue skies and sunshine to darkness and the despair of a valley that I was not expecting to encounter. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "Listen with your eyes, Rhonda. Listen with your eyes. You have to have a daily encounter with me. You have to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin and the effects of it." The words to that song, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free." Anybody remember this hymn? "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You watch the news, you see all the atrocities that are happening in Ukraine, you see disgusting decisions made in Washington. You see things and you feel like you're spiraling out of control. You feel like Peter when you're starting to sink. You feel like, "God, this is not the world that I remember. Nothing seems right." Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The second verse of that hymn says, "His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell." How many of you really know that right now, if there was ever a time that we needed to behold the Lamb of God, it's now. If there was ever a time that we needed a daily encounter and behold him on a daily basis, it's now. We are living in the mean time. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And the Lord's Spirit is, he's leaning in and he's taking your face in his hands. And he's saying, "Listen with your eyes. Look to me. Look to the word. I am more than enough. I am sufficient for every need, every storm, every battle you face. I have equipped you to walk through it. He's the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. But he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? January the 13th, 2021, on a Wednesday night, I was teaching a college and career class at our church. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke that to me. He said, I am the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world, and I always will be. Keep your eyes and your focus on me. And then he turned and he said, but I am also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I have positioned myself to roar. I want that to settle in your spirit. I was sitting there in that room, and it was as if I had a vision. And I saw a little lion cub in the middle of an open field. And there were bears and hyenas approaching to take this little bear cub. And just as it happened, I saw what looked like the king of the jungle coming from a distance. And he wasn't stressed. He wasn't fearful and apprehensive. He was walking, kind of like Jesus on the water, walking strategically on purpose towards that little lion cub. And when he got about 50 yards from where that little lion cub was, he lifted up his head, shook his mane, and roared a roar. And when he did, the enemy fled in terror. But you know what the little lion cub did? The little lion cub ran towards the roar. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The little lion cub ran towards the roar because it comforted him and brought security to him. And the Lord said, keep your eyes on me. Oh, it looks crazy. You might be perplexed. You might be perplexed, but do not be in despair because I have positioned myself to roar, and the bride of Christ will know when I have roared, and so will the enemy of the church. The gates of hell will scatter in terror when I roar. A year passed. I was sitting in my office, January the 13th, 2022, on a Thursday morning. I sat there and I thought, God, this is a year later, and I'm just going to be honest, God. Like I told you, 2022 looks like her ugly first two cousins. 2020 and 2021, I don't see much change in God. Did I hear your voice? Did I hear your voice? And I was seriously, I was weeping at my desk. I said, God, did I hear you? Or was that just something I wanted so bad? Did I hear your voice? About that time, my pastor came in and he had been crying. He's a prayer warrior. But when he cries, there's something different. I can always tell. And he said, Rhonda, I was just over at the church praying. And he said, I was just walking back and forth across the sanctuary. And he said, as I was praying, I was calling on the names of the Lord. And he said, I got to the line of the tribe of Judah, and I couldn't stop. He said, I just was walking across the sanctuary, and I was going, Lion of the tribe of Judah. You're the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You're the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he said, then I began to say, roar, lion, roar, lion, roar, lion. Well, I stopped him. I said, Pastor, I said, you don't realize it, but it's a year from the date that God gave me that vision and spoke that word. I had shared it with him. He said, a year today? And I said, a year today. And about that time, I'm telling you, my pastor, the assistant pastor, the admin, they can all testify what I'm fixing to tell you is true. This man comes busting in the front door of the office, and he said, is this the church office? Because we have our offices are in what used to be the parsonage behind the church. And I said, yes, it is. And he said, well, I know y'all don't know me. I've been driving around the parking lot of the church trying to find an open door. And I looked back here and saw cars, and I thought, maybe that's the church office. He said, I can't leave here until I say what God has spoken me to say. Long story short, he looked at me and he said, I know you don't know me, but the Lord wants me to tell you that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has positioned himself to roar, and he's about to roar on behalf of his people. I don't want you to forget that the Lord said that to you. And I looked at him and I said, I won't forget. He had no idea what he was just speaking to me. And he went, he did just like this. He went, oh, I can go now. And he walked out the door and drove away. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? The Lion of the tribe of Judah has positioned himself to roar. In the meantime, do not lose your focus. Keep your eyes, behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. We win, and we win big. He's coming back for his bride. And in the meantime, he has positioned himself to roar, and the whole earth will know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Do not lose hope. Do not be disheartened. In the hotel room about 3 years ago, I was sitting beside the bed and the Lord spoke to my heart. And this sounds comical. I can't help it, y'all. It's just the way I am. I try to be dignified. It just doesn't come out like that. I really can if I want to. I can use proper diction and I can put all of the G's at the end of ING and put T's in the middle of the words, but it don't last long once I start feeling the Lord. The real me comes out. I'm just saying. But I was in the hotel room, and the Spirit of the Lord, I was watching on my phone some YouTube, praise and worship, and you know how they always interrupt with just aggravating commercials. And one of them was AAA. It said, AAA will help you when the unexpected happens in your travels and in your daily life. You need AAA. Well, I felt the Lord quicken my heart, and I thought, this is a AAA commercial, what? And I got a piece of paper off the nightstand, and I'm telling you this, in the meantime, you need to behold the Lamb, and you need to remember you have AAA. What are you talking about, Rhonda? You have access to the throne room. You can run boldly into his presence and make your petition known. Somebody say access. Somebody say access. You have angels. Come on. Warring angels in camp all around you. Are you hearing me? How many of you love Psalm 91? Psalm 91 says he will give his angels, plural, more than one charge. So you got at least two, Sandra. You've got at least two, Jamil. You've got at least two encamped all around you. That's 2, 4, 6, 8. How many of you understand there are angels encamped all around us to do the bidding of the heirs of salvation? Somebody in here, praise the Lord. You've got access to the throne room. You've got angels surrounding you, and you have the power of agreement. What? The Spirit of the Lord quickened my heart, and I wasn't going to share this, but during praise and worship, the Lord called it back to my mind. Some of you may have heard me share this story before, because it's one that I like to tell, because it impacted my life so strongly. The Lion has positioned himself to roar. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Behold the Lamb. The ultimate encounter is coming. You will behold him just as he is. But in the meantime, don't you forget, you have AAA. You have access. You have angels, and you have agreement. What is agreement? Well, what's the power of agreement? There's so much to be said there. That's another sermon. That's another conference. That's another 3 or 4 messages. I'm just going to give you a little snippet. The prayers of the saints are like sweet incense before the Father. They don't go anywhere. Are you hearing me? They're a memorial. They're kept before him. Because prayers give God access to you. You remember in Genesis where he said, I'm giving man dominion over every creeping thing. And he said he gave man authority over this planet. Well, in doing so, see, we have to invite God back into our space. Prayer, God's not sitting on his throne going, well, if a couple of you come and beg me, I'll think about it. No, he's saying, I will not cross my word. I will not step over the boundaries of my own word. And I gave man dominion over this planet. And until you come and give me access to your situation, I cannot come. And this whole thing has messed me up, and I want to share this nugget with you before I leave here this weekend. Because if I'm going to give you a short, quick list of the things I want you to remember after I'm gone, and this is one of them. Because there's so much power in our prayers. God, remember when Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away so that if I go, the Comforter will come. He was saying, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And the Holy Spirit will quicken you as to know how to pray. And as you begin to know how to pray, you will pray in alignment, in agreement. And you will invite the Lord into situations that He otherwise has no access to. How many of you realize it's important for us to pray when the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray? But those prayers are kept as a memorial in heaven to remind the devil that God has legal access to your family. Jamil prayed for her kids. I have legal access to them. Sonia prayed for her kids. I have legal access to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You prayed for your granddaughter. I can have legal access to where she is. And prayer is powerful. So we have access to the throne room. We have angels surrounding us, and we have the power of agreement. Why is that so significant? When my son was straddling the fence, anybody have any fence straddlers in your house? They're miserable, and they make everybody miserable. And my son was being pulled into the things of the world, and I was like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I could take you to the spot I was standing in our dining room. Well, I could, but we sold that house, and the people would probably think it was weird. I'm bringing these women from Maine to show them this spot. We'll leave. That would be weird. Anyway, but I remember the spot vividly. I was standing in her dining room now, and I walked over to it, and the Spirit of the Lord quickened me, and He said, pray this. He said, Rhonda, pray that every prayer that's ever been prayed on behalf of Joe will be heard again. See, I wasn't going to share this, but standing right over here, the Lord said, there's some mamas and grandmamas in the room, and there's some people in the room that need to understand the power that they have through agreement in prayer. Listen, I can pray with the saints who have gone on in agreement with my grandmother's prayers, and those prayers are still kept in heaven. They are treasured. And I can say, God, remember when Grandmother Hamby prayed this? And the Lord says, yes, and I'm entering into agreement with her prayer. Are you hearing me? So that night, standing in the dining room, I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I was weeping. I said, I'm praying right now for Joel. I pray that every prayer that's ever been prayed on his behalf is heard again in the throne room. Every prayer that's ever been uttered from my forefathers that I never even met. I was blessed with a godly heritage of men who love God. You might not have that heritage, but you can start one now. Are you hearing what? You can be the one who brings that godly pipeline into your family. And I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying in agreement with every prayer that's ever been uttered on behalf of my son, every prayer that's been prayed by every evangelist, every pastor, every vacation Bible school teacher, every youth camp counselor, every single church service where he was prayed over under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm entering into agreement with those prayers, the prayers of my grandfather, the prayers of his great-grandfather. I'm entering into agreement with those prayers, Lord. I felt the power of God come all over me standing right there in my dining room, and unbeknownst to me, my son got up to go get some water. Now, he's taller and bigger than his daddy, and he was walking behind me to go get water into the in the kitchen area, and I was standing in the open part of our living room, and I heard what sounded like a tree fall behind me. I was praying quietly. I wasn't praying loud. It was about 2:30 in the morning. And I was praying quietly, and I heard this thump behind me, and I turned around, and my son was laying on the floor. Tears were dripping down. Spontaneous eruption of tears. He said, Mama, what is happening to me? What is happening? I walked over to him, and I said, Joel, you need to hear what I'm saying to you. I have entered into agreement with every prayer that's ever been prayed on your behalf, and heaven is moved right now, and the devil will not have my seed. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So about 2 days later, he's sitting in the living room, and he says, Mama, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to think I'm crazy. And I said, what, baby? He said, when you were praying for me that night, he said, I don't know if I was dreaming or if I was awake. But Mama, it was so real. I said, what? Jamil, I'll never forget this. He said, I saw a little old man coming out the back of an old rickety house that looked like something on Little House on the Prairie was about to fall apart. He said he was coming down the back steps. He had a long white beard. And he said, Mama, he held on to a rope that was tied onto the back of that house. And he followed that rope all the way to a tree in the back of the house. And he knelt at a spot under that tree and started praying. And he said, Mama, I don't know how to explain this, but I know in my heart that old man was praying for me. He said he was praying for his sons and his daughters and those that would come after him, that they would be spirit-filled believers in Jesus Christ. He said, Mama, I knew he meant me. Well, you don't understand. I stood there and started weeping because I had never shared this story with my son. My aunt, who's the only living sibling left, and she'll soon be 90, had told me this story, and I had not yet shared it with Joel. That his great-great-grandfather, my great-grandfather, was a prayer warrior. He was a circuit rider preacher. He would ride on horseback and go and evangelize the areas. And he would pray every day under an oak tree in their backyard, rain, shine, sleet, or snow, for his posterity and his lineage. But my aunt told me something really interesting. She said, Rhonda, when he got old, he went blind. So they tied a rope on the back of the house. And he would come down the back steps and follow that rope to kneel under that tree. And he prayed every day of his life until he breathed his last breath for his posterity and his lineage, that they would know Christ. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Do not despair. You have AAA. You have access. You have angels. You have agreement. Your prayers are stored in heaven. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Quick list. You've answered the question correctly. Nod your head. Say it with me. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when I stumble, there's a three-word prayer that I know I can pray. Lord, save me. Come on, say it with me. Lord, save me. And then I want you to say this. I will behold the Lamb of God. Every day, when things start getting dark, when things start getting heavy, I will focus and listen with my eyes. Come on, somebody say that. I will listen with my eyes, because soon and very soon I'm going to have the ultimate encounter. And until then, I'm going to remember that I have AAA. I can come boldly. I have access to the throne room and make my petitions known. And I have angels surrounding me on every side. And I have the power of agreement. I can access agreement with those prayers that have gone before me. And I can enter into agreement with your prayers, Jamil, with your prayers, Sister Sonia, with your prayers, Doris. I can enter into agreement, and your warring angels yoke up with my warring angels, and they go out and do the bidding of the heirs of salvation, and we defeat the enemy, and the darkness around us is moved by the light that is within you. If you remember that, you will have exchanged beauty for ashes. Joy for heaviness. Come on, somebody. Mourning for dancing. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. God has heard your petitions. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I want to read this one more time. This song. Somebody say it with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. How many of you want that ultimate encounter? Mama, those prayers aren't gone unheard. Ask the Lord to hear every prayer that's ever been uttered on behalf of your child. Say his name. Say her name. Every prayer that's ever been prayed on behalf of your spouse, say his name. Every prayer that's ever been prayed. And then turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? Did you come here weary and troubled? Did you come here with ashes and heaviness and mourning? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Will you stand?
Turn.
Behold
your eyes,
the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Look again. You have access. You have angels. You have agreement. You've answered the question correctly. Come on, let's sing it with her. Behind us, I want you to make up your mind. It's one thing to be informed, it's another thing to be engrossed with the news and the happenings of the world. Take your eyes off the storm and focus on the peace speaker. Take your eyes off the valley and focus on the shepherd. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and one glimpse in his face will make everything so much better, and it will cause you to regain your focus. And Jen, you will not be in despair. You might be perplexed, but you will not be in despair. And you will exchange beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. You will turn it by looking in his direction and remind yourself you've answered the question correctly. So you have the keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Hallelujah. Let's look together. If you want to a fresh touch, if you just want to bask in his presence, I invite you to just come and stand with these who have come on. Come, some of you who are weary, some of you who have been in battle, some of you who just want one more touch of his sweet hand before we leave this retreat this weekend. Just, I invite you to come and just stand and sing with Jamil. She invites you to look into his face. Listen with your eyes this morning. I may not see you again in this life, but I promise you, if you have answered the question correctly, Christians never say goodbye for the last time. We never say goodbye for the last time. We will meet again, and there will be no goodbyes. There will be no pain. There will be no sorrow in the wonderful place he's prepared. I just feel a sweet spirit in this room. Come on, whether you, if you've come down, just look into his face. If you're standing back there, look again at the Lamb of God who will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Wonderful face. your eyes and the things and the things of earth will grow strange to be dim in the light of His glory and grace. Sing it again. Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yes. Look full. Look full. And the things of the earth and the things of earth will grow straight to
so strongly that the Lord wanted to just bring a comfort to you this morning. And it's just like I feel such a sweet presence of the Lord being poured into you and into your circumstances and into your situation. And it's like I said, I had no intention of sharing that about my son, but the Lord wanted me to leave you with that word. That you have so much more power within you. Within us are weapons of mass destruction against the kingdom of darkness. And it's time for us to take the revelation we have into the battlefield. Amen? And come against strongholds. Not people. Love people with grace and mercy. Love them into the kingdom. But pray against the enemy who's come against your family. Pray against the enemy who's come against this nation. Pray against him in the name of Jesus. And look in the face of our Lord every day. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. And your focus will change. And it will cause you to change your stance and your walk. Your words will come out. And you'll decree and to declare the word of God. And you'll see things change in your situation. I believe that with everything in me. Turn your eyes, ladies. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins and the circumstances caused by sinful people. He takes it away. Step out, walk on the word, keep your focus, keep your mind set on Him. And the comforting, sweet Spirit of God will overshadow you, your family, your home. Every prayer that's ever been prayed is kept and cherished and heard. Pray in agreement with those prayers and watch God move on your behalf. And in the meantime, remember this old hymn. Remember the Lord is saying, listen with your eyes. I love you and I'm praying with you and for you. And I believe that God is up to things that we cannot see or sense in the natural right now. But how many of you feel in your spirit that the lion is about to roar? Come on. How many of you believe that we're about to experience a great awakening? I believe we are about to see a move of God that will usher in the rapture of the church. I believe that. That's the camp I'm in. And that's where I'm staying. You hear what I'm saying? I believe that with all my heart. And He's mindful of you. He knows your sorrows. He's bottled your tears. And He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And if it matters to you, it matters to Him. Your pain is not insignificant. Your battle is not unnoticed. And He is there with you every step of the way. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for the privilege of letting me share and be a part of your weekend. I speak blessings over you, your families, over this region of our nation, Northern New England. I pray for revival to move mightily in your midst and great things to happen in your ministry, in your family, in your individual lives. I believe God is up to something awesome. The lion is going to roar, and we're going to run towards it. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you. God bless you. Thank you.